literacy education gadfly show. Mike and Rick tell you everything you need to know about education and learning and teaching. Listen to the words that they be preaching, cause it's the Education Gadfly Show, yeah! It's
Hello, this is your host, Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, here with my co-host, a man who's getting sick and tired of Vladimir Putin's sorry sass, Rick S.
What did you just talk about? Vladimir Putin's what?
Sorry sass.
Putin's... We're not talking about his buttocks, are we?
No, his sass. He's just really acting up. We're back into the Cold War again.
Although Bush reassured us that he's not going to invade Europe. Not Bush isn't going to invade Europe. Neither is Putin going to invade Europe.
That's good.
Nobody's invading Europe, Bush said.
Yeah, that would be a real problem.
I'm not sure I believe him on that, though. I don't know.
Speaking of Europe, you're heading off to the Isles of Greece, I understand.
I am. So I'm psyched for that. Yeah. I need that.
Liam looks a little concerned back there. Liam, would you like to express your concern about it? No. Yeah. Other than I just butchered his writing.
And Liam doesn't trust that Bush can gauge Putin's intentions and whether or not he's going to roll into Europe. But,
but he can look into his soul.
He can look into his soul, and he read it, and he said, I see a man whose soul has no European invasion scripted upon it.
Yeah. What do you know? Well, you know something exciting today in the show, Rick?
What?
Is that Christina... is joining us for the first time. As you remember, Jen Leischer has headed off to go work in the National Children's Hospital. And Christina's going to be joining us on the show here to read some of the questions. Christina, welcome to the Education Gadfly Show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Christina, Mike.
Christina, why don't you tell you a little bit about yourself?
I follow Checkerfin around all day.
Graduated
really? At the University of Notre Dame, go Irish, and that's about it. So,
really, you know how Don Regan once described his job in the Reagan White House? Remember this?
Which was what? Writing memos from himself?
No. He said he was the guy who followed the elephant around with a pail and a shovel.
Well, I've only been here 6 weeks, but who knows? Room to grow, right?
The pail and the shovel girl.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you go to school, Christina?
To Notre Dame.
Really?
Yes.
Did you like it there?
I did, yes.
Haven't you argued before that people shouldn't go to schools like Notre Dame?
Oh, really? Yeah, tell us about this, Rick.
I'm not sure. I may well have, but I don't recall the specifics.
Yeah, well, good. Well, Christina, we're glad to have you. Let's get going. And, of course, listeners, if you would like to send us a note about global relations, about Christina's welcome on the show, anything else at all, send us a note at letters@excellence.net. We'd love to hear from you. Let's get going with the game of Pardon the Gadfly. Then we've got an interview, Rick, today with Grammar Girl.
Grammar Girl?
Grammar Girl.
Dude, I called her on Good Morning America. She lit it up.
That's what I understand. Hey.
Forget about it.
You know, it's a theme. You remember who we had last week?
No.
Punctuation Man.
I do indeed.
Yeah.
Dude, he lit it up on The View.
Yeah, so this is Superheroes Month. Okay, Liam's telling us to move it along.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck hugged him in her lap.
So let's get started.
She
Christina,
said, punctuate it right.
Kick us off on Pardon the Gadfly.
All right, guys, topic one. A new Center for Education Policy study says that achievement is up and gaps are closing since NCLB's enactment. Our own Frederick M. Hess helped to advise the study. So, Rick, is this definitive evidence that NCLB works?
Yeah, not so much. I will say, CEP actually did a nice job with this. The folks.
How much did they pay you?
Me? Hardly anything, man.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Ticks me off. But, you know, the biggest development in NCLB recently is the fact that all these guys have come out of the closet and now calling it a civil rights law instead of an education law, which actually goes to this question of whether or not we can prove that it's working in any sense. What the CEP study did is they got all the state-level achievement data instead of NAEP data, and we looked at trends.
NAEP being the National Assessment of Educational Progress.
Very nice. Dude, mm-hmm. you are a wonk. Mm-hmm. State achievement data, you look at it, turns out the trends are overwhelmingly positive. Everything's going upwards. This is the basis for the headlines, which conclude that it shows NCLB is making a difference. Problem is that we know that once you've had any state assessment in place for a couple of years, or for a year really, the trends are almost always overwhelmingly positive. Given how much states have turned over their assessments, it's hard to tell whether, you know, what one is to make of this. How much of this is due to something post-NCLB, and how much of it's due to the fact that people do better on tests once they're in place for a couple of years.
Okay, so there could be this drift on tests where the tests themselves are getting easier. And then there's also this question of can you...
No, but it's not even the tests get easier. Even if you get the exact same test year over year,
okay,
what you tend to find is that people score much... Dan Koretz of Harvard's the guy who's, you know, done the most on this.
Okay. And the other issue then is... is, of course, we can't prove that it's No Child Left Behind one way or the other.
Sure.
I mean, why not just use the National Assessment of Educational Progress? Why use state tests for this purpose?
Well, I mean, the argument, of course, is that critics of NAEP say it doesn't actually reflect what states are teaching. And NAEP's been relatively flat since NCLB, and that's taken... We have no clue what we're going on. Dude, I can't handle all this looking around and the scattering and the hijinks. I feel like in the middle of a lot of sexual tension and, you know, trying to have a conversation about, like, rocket science or something.
Okay, I'm very disturbed that you're feeling any sexual tension.
You and Kobe, these looks, these gestures. Look, I feel like I'm the third guy at dinner.
There's the bell.
I feel like I'm the third guy at dinner, and you and Kobe are saying, when is he going to leave so we can have a private drink?
All right, and from rocket science back to kindergarten, a big New York Times magazine story.
Nice.
That was a very nice segue.
Very sharp.
Well, you know, Kobe has some things to learn, but Christina, she's hitting it strong.
All right.
Picked it up.
Said story looks at the question of when children should start kindergarten. Is it unfair that some parents give their kids an advantage by holding them back a year? Should this practice be limited or outlawed?
So I found this very interesting. This author called this redshirting of kindergartners. And of course, there's lots of reasons to do it. Some kids might not be as mature. Maybe they're not as big as the other kids yet. Maybe they're right around the cutoff in terms of their birthday. And so parents like to hold their kids back. It seems to be happening, especially for boys. I will say that my very own nephew was held back an extra year, although most of the boys in his class were also. So there was some peer pressure to do that. But I think it does create some real questions. I mean, it looks like it may give the kids that are redshirted a real advantage academically, certainly gives them an advantage later when they're in sports in high school. I think perhaps there should be some guidelines.
Well, guidelines exist. They say if your kid's born before or after a certain date.
Right.
Right, this is the expectation.
But it looks like parents can pretty much delay the start of the school for their kid if they'd like to.
So you actually want teeth in these guidelines?
I'd like to say, look, I think, you know, we should have some agreement about in what cases. I mean, there's always going to be some good reason for some kids to stay back a year. But I don't know. I mean, should we just let parents make that decision?
Who do you want to make this decision, Mike, if not the parents?
Well, I think that maybe there should be some guidelines and that the parents
should have guidelines. I mean, right? I mean, states actually have dates.
Let me explain. I think there should be some guidelines about when there should be allowed exceptions. So I think perhaps there should be some sort of process that, you know, parents have to make some sort of case about why it's important for their kid to be held back, not just because they're thinking about football 12 years old.
So this, I like this. So here's Mike Petro, the Fortin Foundation, wanting somebody to put statutory teeth in the guidelines as to when your kid's going to start kindergarten.
I'm just putting the idea out there.
I like it.
All right, and another place near and dear to Mike Petrilli's heart, St. Louis.
Ooh, my hometown, baby.
Is considering canceling its contract.
Did you see that segue? Boom!
I know. That was good.
Focus, Rick. Come
sharp.
On now. With Teach for America. Because the district has to lay off lots of veteran teachers, the school board claims that it doesn't need TFA. Are they right? Should TFA stay focused on places with bona fide teacher shortages?
It's an interesting question. I mean, depends partly on what you think TFA's mission is. If TFA's mission is to try to find people to funnel into districts that need more teachers, and St. Louis has enough teachers, then there's no need for TFA. On the other hand, if the argument is that TFA brings a lot of energy and idealistic young people and talented folks into a school district that benefits from that energy, then the fact that St. Louis doesn't necessarily need some more bodies to fill teaching slots isn't a good reason why you don't want TFA in your district.
All right, so you're saying that TFA is really about teacher quality, not just teacher quantity. But you can understand the district saying, look, if they're literally giving pink slips to teachers who are probably, you know, only, you know, first or second or third year teachers themselves, because it's always last hired, first fired, it seems a little uncomfortable to at the same time be recruiting new teachers into the district. This is the same thing we see happening in Ohio, where a lot of districts are facing budget cuts and declining enrollment. And as a result, Teach for America has really struggled to get a welcome mat in those districts.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fair. But I mean, this then goes to the larger dysfunction with personnel policies is, you know, having modest familiarity with St. Louis from some research I was doing last fall, you know, the track record in the district is not real impressive. I find it unconvincing to argue that they are packed to the wall to wall with quality teachers.
Right, right.
So given that, the fact that they are laying off young teachers, it makes it harder to justify going out and recruiting. On the other hand, if one suggests that the quality of the St. Louis workforce could be boosted, that's a reason to do everything you can to get those teachers.
So in other words, you got to end this practice of last hired, first fired.
You want to lay off
some veteran teachers.
Right here, because right now Liam's looking a little comfy. He's sitting in with his legs folded, kind of being all cushy. On the other hand, Christina's on her A game. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Because
right.
She knows that if Fordham has trouble making its dollars target next month, her butt's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, that kind of energy only works one way. Actually, although now that I look, it's actually Christina sitting on her butt. And never mind.
What are you trying to say? And anyways, you think Fordham, we don't have those kinds of policies here at the Fordham Foundation.
What kind of policy do you have?
Hey, we're all about quality, baby.
Are you?
We are all about quality.
Pushing.
And you know who else is about quality?
Who else is about quality?
Grammar Girl. Let's take a listen. Joining us today in the Education Gadfly Show is Mignon Fogarty, also known as Grammar Girl. Grammar Girl, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on here. So Mignon, of course, that begs the question. You must get it all the time. As in filet?
No, I was named after a flower called the mignonette, which is a small ground cover. It was my great-great-grandmother's favorite flower. But it does make it easy to remember.
Yes. Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. Named after a flower. Huh. That's good. So that's very different than being named after a steak. Yeah.
It is.
Okay. Well, we are here to talk about what it's like to be Grammar Girl. And I should say that last week on the show, we had with us Punctuation Man. This is kind of a theme that we're doing. So I have to ask, first of all, have you met Punctuation Man?
We've emailed a couple of times. What he's doing looks great. I'd love to meet him in person someday.
Oh, my gosh, that's great. I'm so glad that you've already made that connection. Well, good. Well, so how did this happen for you? How did you become Grammar Girl?
Well, I used to do a longer podcast, a science interview podcast, but that became very time-consuming. And because I was a writer, I kept coming across the same grammar errors over and over again. So when I decided I needed to do a shorter show, mm-hmm. grammar just jumped out as a topic that would lend itself to the shorter format and be something that I knew about and could get excited about on a weekly basis.
All right. So what are some of those errors that you would come across over and over again?
Oh, which versus that. I see people confused about that all the time.
I get that wrong all the time.
Affect versus effect.
Mm-hmm.
Affect versus effect. People email me about that every week to mm-hmm. help them remember what the difference is. Who versus whom.
Mm.
Whether or not to use the apostrophe in its.
Mm, yes.
Those are some of the most common questions that I get.
Now, do you think that the Microsoft Word grammar check, does that work very well?
It's okay. It will catch some of the problems, but it doesn't catch a lot of things. For example, misplaced modifiers. I know it's not very good at catching those. If you put your only in the wrong place, it's not going to know that you mean something other than what you're writing, for example.
Okay. Because I have to say, I often find myself disagreeing with Microsoft Word's grammar check, you know? And I wonder, am I wrong? Are the programmers wrong?
Oh, I would never rely on it exclusively, but it can be helpful. But yeah, I would never let it be the only thing checking my grammar.
Okay. Now, do you think we have a grammar crisis in this country? Are our schools not doing a good enough job teaching grammar?
Well, I think that, you know, I have a job being Grammar Girl because the education is lacking in grammar. And I don't think it's teachers' fault. I just think there isn't enough time.
Okay. Well, so let's finish with this then, Grammar Girl. What do you think we need to do in our schools to better teach grammar? Is it a matter of, bringing back diagramming sentences, bringing back some of the old grammar textbooks? What do you think?
No, I don't think diagramming sentences is all that helpful. But I do think that I hear a lot from teachers and students that, you know, maybe a teacher in a history class will let grammar slide in essays that students turn in because they feel like, or they feel as if history, it isn't their place to be correcting students' grammar. And students will complain if they get marked down for grammar on, you know, a history or a physics essay or something like that. So I think that probably the easiest thing to do would be to have those teachers in the other disciplines make solid writing and in particular good grammar part of the grading process for the essay writing. I think that would help students focus on it and realize that it really is important no matter what your topic area is to write clearly and communicate clearly.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I tell you, we don't like let poor grammar slide here at the Education Gadfly Show. So don't fear, Grammar Girl. Okay. We're with you on that one. And we appreciate you coming on the show. All right, Grammar Girl.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me.
Okay. Mignon Fogarty, otherwise known as Grammar Girl. And where can our listeners check out your own podcast or blog?
Yeah, my website is quickanddirtytips.com. And you can search for Grammar Girl at Google or at iTunes and subscribe to the podcast or get right to the transcript. Each show has a full transcript, so you can listen or read along, and I hope people check it out.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
You bet. Thank you.
So, Rick, hypothetically, if this interview had happened already and you had a chance to listen to it, what would you think about it?
So I've always had a sweet spot for people who really knew how to punctuate it right.
Mm-hmm. I used to really enjoy diagramming sentences.
Mm. I can see that about you.
Yeah. In fact, I think I might go home tonight and do a little bit of that.
But myself. I got to say, Grammar Girl, man, that's... Do they have photos and whatnot of her on her website?
Kobe, Christina. We think that they may. Yeah.
It's
All right. Good. All right. Well, that bell means that it's time for everyone's favorite education news of the weird with our special correspondent, Liam Julian. Liam, what's weird this week?
Quote, "All I want is that little piece of paper," unquote. But it doesn't look like Keisha Gales will be receiving it. The paper in question is Keisha's high school diploma, withheld by school officials who say that the rowdy behavior of Keisha's family at Galesburg High School's graduation ceremony was in violation of school rules. Four other students also saw their diplomas withheld. A meeting with Galesburg High administrators, at which the administrators demanded an apology for the raucous cheering, didn't go well. Students and their families refused to apologize. The school refused to hand over the diplomas. For now, the standoff continues. Rick, did you invite loud and obnoxious guests to your high school graduation?
My dad lit it up, man. Lit it up. Hold on. What did Keisha's parents actually do? Did they like moon the other graduates, or did they just yell really loud?
I think it was loud yelling. Hooray.
Don't we generally air horn?
Air horns?
It might have been air horns. Maybe okay. Those milk jugs with the coins in them.
Don't we encourage this typically? Like we say cheer for your kid.
At graduation, well, they are trying to keep some decorum.
Well, some parents complained that they couldn't hear their child's name.
Right. Mm. It becomes kind of a competition. Everybody's sort of out cheering the others. And then it doesn't feel like it's, you know, very serious.
My problem with high school graduations is when I was teaching, and you just have to sit there the whole darn, right? Because if it's your kid, you can always slip out discreetly if you got Douglas is your last name or something. But if you're a teacher, you're stuck there. And these things go on for like 55 minutes. And you just want to like, you know, you're supposed to be all excited for the kids. But my God, it's hot and it's humid. And you're like, let's just end this already. It's only a damn high school diploma.
So you weren't cheering then from the faculty section?
You're clapping politely.
You're cheering
and
on
after
the
like the 65th kid.
Sometimes I kind of feel like that sitting in on this podcast, as a matter of fact.
But that you're clapping quietly?
No, that it's excruciatingly long.
Well, you know, Kobe, I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I should say that another person in the studio with us today is Butch Trusty. Butch is an education pioneer, which is a great program that takes MBA and law school students and puts them in internships in organizations like Fordham and other hands-on school reform groups. And Butch is going to help us with our communication strategy this summer.
You got so much to learn from Christina in terms of a smooth segue. No idea how and where that. I thought when Kobe said he's excruciatingly bored and we're too long, I thought you were going to be like, good note to close.
That would have been better. But I wanted to get the shout out for Butch Trusty in there. So Butch, welcome. Welcome to the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation. And I hope you keep us on the air because you know, Rick and I really enjoy getting together and doing this and having a drink afterwards. Okay. Liam has a book, A Look of Excruciating Boredom. So on that note, we're out of here. Rick is off to Greece for 2 weeks, so we'll have to get a backup for you.
Okay.
But till we see you again.
Hey, I'm Rick Hess.
And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Foundation, signing off.